Welcome to this week's edition of the Ravecast. We're here to bring you your favorite team's news every week, good or bad. We started off last week previewing what would become the Ravens' defeat to the Bears and talked about 342 days of losing on the road. Well, let's get started looking at the game in Chicago. It was another road defeat for the Ravens when they went to Chicago to face a team with the same 2-3 record. And in my opinion, I think that the Ravens are in a pretty good deal of trouble in the future. Now, I told listeners last podcast that I hardly get to watch the games living overseas. This is one of the few games that was televised here. But you know what I had to deal with to get to watch this game? Auto racing was on while I was trying to watch my team play, and they had to drive 62 more laps before I could finally watch the game, and that ended up being about an hour. So that's just a frustrating thing to have to deal with when your team's you're finally able to watch your team. But what I did get to see was that just it seemed like the Ravens were failing in nearly every aspect of the game. And the Ravens, I've seen them have some problems, and you know, even during the Super Bowl season they've had offensive problems, but they really have always had their defense to look forward to and their defense to get them out of trouble. And I just think that this Super Bowl team Brian Billick is trying to reconstruct is just not going to work. That's just my opinion here on the Ravecast. We've always had the defense look forward to, as I say, to get us out of holes. I mean, even score us a few touchdowns sometimes. But against Chicago, it just looked like we really didn't have anything. So now I know you may be thinking, come on, Zach, 10-6. You know, that's only 10 points. But just let me back this up for you first. The defense just doesn't seem to have that old-school swagger that the Ravens usually have. And for a 2-4 team, it's hard to have that swagger, but they really didn't have it the first game of the season. Looking at their games, a majority of the opponent's points have come from stupid Ravens penalties or from just lack of good coordination and dumb defensive plays. Let's take a look here. First quarter, Suggs misread a touchdown pass to Edwards, and Suggs' late hit on Orton, which extended the drive in the third. These are just mistakes that will kill you every time in the game. Also, I've heard in the games that I've listened to that it seems that the Ravens' coordination hasn't been successful either. They had to burn a timeout on 3rd and 5 because they couldn't get the right players on the field. That's just things that they shouldn't be dealing with, things that really you shouldn't even see in the NFL. The defense has always reassured us. I've said, hey, you know, at least we've got Ray Lewis on the field, who, by the way, isn't playing in Pittsburgh, along with Ed Reed. I think the D needs to step up in Pittsburgh, take control of the crowd. This is going to be a real tough game going into in Pittsburgh. And they just need to remember who they are. I think that their unity is crucial for this team. And it truly is sad. You know, I'm not even angry. I'm just sad to see that this team that Billick is trying to reconstruct just really isn't working. And I think that the Ravens just need to start again. So enough about the defense. This loss was more than about them. Though they were crucial in it, they weren't entirely the problem. As a team, the Ravens subtracted 10 penalties from the debacle in Detroit, making a grand total in Chicago 11 for 100 yards. And that's still too many. Offensively, Jamal Lewis was held to only 34 rushing yards, and he just doesn't seem to be playing his normal self. He seems to be timid, and you can just see that he just doesn't want to get hurt again, which is understandable, and the Ravens are just swamped with injuries this year. And you know, I think that the offense, that unity is just a huge part of the offense as well. Anthony Wright even said that, quote, we're not playing together as a team, so this is obviously more than something that I'm seeing. The Ravens were held to 199 total offensive yards. Anthony is right, that's R-I-G-H-T. A bit of Ravens history for you listeners. The Ravens haven't been 2-4 since 1999, so where do they go from here? Billick says, you go back to work and work your way through it. And I think that's really what the Ravens need to do, but I just don't see, you know, after every loss, I just don't see them going back through it. That's the frustrating part about it. looking back at this game, I see a glimmer of hope, and I know it was a bad game, but I still see it that the Ravens need to get the core playing down. On both Bears scoring drives, Ravens penalties accounted for 1/3 of the yardage. This will lose the game for you every time, folks. Wright says they have to stop killing themselves with these stupid penalties, and you know this is absolutely true. I've talked about penalties, but now let's really dig into the actual errors made by the Ravens against the Bears. Error 1. Adalius Thomas, roughing the passer, moved the Bears into Ravens territory. Error 2, which happened 3 plays later. Terrell Suggs rushed forward and fullback Mark Edwards ran right by him. Error 3. The entire defense let rookie quarterback Kyle Orton pass to wide-open Edwards. 7-0 Bears. 3 stupid plays, 7 points. And that, I just think that if we could eliminate these plays that the Ravens could just do, it could be so much more beneficial to them. And you can't do much scoring when you don't get past the 44, and that's what the Ravens did in the second half. The offense has to be more productive, and they just can't rely on the defense like they have the past 4 seasons, it seems like. Offensive errors were just as bad, like when Anthony Wright fumbled on the Bears' 11. I mean, you can blame special teams, too. A completely unnecessary roughing the kicker penalty against Patrick Johnson put the Bears on the Ravens' 45. Just unnecessary. And the most frustrating part of all of this is I've used this word a lot throughout the program, frustrating, and it's that we've seen what this team can do. I mean, we said last week that the Browns game showed us what the Ravens were really capable of, and they just make these dumb mistakes that will kill them every time. So I'm just going to stop here. I'm tired of looking in the past, folks, and I can rant and rave all I want on this microphone, but we need to look at the future. And I think the future has some questions in store as well. Jamal Lewis's future in particular, his free agency is something of interest to the team, and just the way he has been treated this year, he's being blamed by the press for the offensive struggles, but who can blame him for wanting to leave, you know, after all that he's going through this year? This former all-pro running back is only averaging 59 yards a game and about 3 yards a carry. I think that he's got health to worry about. He looks timid on the field, as I stated earlier, but the offensive line doesn't seem to be giving him much to work with either. Lewis expressed his health concerns to the Baltimore Sun this week, saying, "You want to be careful for your own health." And I think another damaging part of this factor in the Ravens is that Billick's response, or lack of response, to these problems. He doesn't seem to be worried about Jamal Lewis' response or Suggs penalties or much at all lately. It just worries me to see my favorite coach getting loose on his team. The quarterback situation is something the Ravens have stressed over since the beginning of their history. Bowler is a third-string quarterback this week, but is likely to start playing again against Cincinnati on the 6th of November. I've got to say, you know, honestly, folks, I don't know how I feel about that. Well, I mean, I guess that really isn't honest. I don't like that. I do not see any leadership in Kyle, and I just don't see his development level where it needs to be to lead this team, and I think that Anthony Wright should stay and lead this team, but I guess, you know, what do I know, right? I'm not head coach of the Ravens. Along with the defense through all these years, I think one thing that I've never questioned is Mr. Automatic, Matt Stover. Stover's pretty much leading scoring this year. He has converted on 9 straight field goals, 3 of which were over 40 yards, and scored the Ravens past 15 points. So, well, here we go, on to Pittsburgh. I didn't want to do this, but, well, I guess, you know, it's part of the program. What to expect? So, the Ravens are on the road this week, trying to rebound their 2-4 start against the 4-2 Steelers at Heinz Field. The Ravens have statistics behind them because the Steelers have lost 2 in a row at home, but they did beat Cincinnati on the road last week, 27-13. So I've been bashing the defense, but hey, they are ranked 2nd in the NFL and 1st in the AFC, so they should put up a good fight against Roethlisberger's boys. But without Lewis and Reed, well, who knows what to expect. Big Ben returned last week with two TD passes from his knee injury 2 weeks ago. The Ravens have taken two out of the past three meetings against the Steelers. And in 2004, they brought the Steelers their only regular season defeat, beating them 30-13. And that was the game, folks, that bought out Ben Roethlisberger. If you didn't already know, the Ravens are how the Steelers discovered Big Ben. They injured Tommy Maddox's elbow, and they brought out their second-string guy who led the team the rest of the year and led them to a victory on their next meeting against the Ravens on December 16th. So let's just hope that the Ravens can use this rivalry to really bring out what we saw in Cleveland. 3-4 just sounds a lot better than 2-5, and I've gotten some questions asking, you know, when the Ravens should start thinking about draft choices, which is basically asking me when they should give up the season. And looking at their schedule, it doesn't seem to get much easier. 3 weeks later, they play Pittsburgh again with the Bengals at home and a road trip to Jacksonville in between. And I'd say that if they lose this game, that they're in a big deal of trouble. But, you know, I've never been a fan of killing your whole season. And I don't know how to answer this question, so hold out for a while, and I'll get back to that. I just would really like to see a road victory this week to break this drought on the road and improve the Ravens' record. It also would put some fear in Pittsburgh, I think, and would make my video class with Evan Big and Tasty Duncan a little bit easier to deal with, so I could dog on him, but hey, I can't have everything. I think the team just needs to unite, and I've said that, you know, continually over and over again in this week's Ravecast. So let's just hope that that they'll do that this week and that Billick hasn't been getting too soft on them. Well, that wraps up the Ravecast. Thanks for tuning in. I hope I wasn't too negative on my favorite team. The Ravens are still, you know, I'll stick with them through thick and thin. I just think that they need a bit of work. So if you'd like to get involved in this podcast, you can call us. We've set up a phone line just for this podcast. You can record your messages to it, and they'll get sent directly to us. It's great. So give us a call this week at 206-202-2439. We'd love to hear from you. Once again, that number is 206-202-2439. This podcast has been a production of Big Ten Productions. For more information and other podcasts, visit our homepage at bigtenproductions.tripod.com or our podcast page at bigtenproductions.podomatic.com, and check out the official Ravecast blog at alltherave.blogger.com. Thanks for tuning in this week. I'm Zach Wilt. Go Ravens!